Edge of Sports Radio returns on SiriusXM Sports Nation, Sirius 122 and XM 143. Here's Dave Zirin.
I never had real friends till now. I never had to steal ends, cause that's foul. I walk the streets with the baseball bat.
Boom, we are back. If you hear that music, it means one thing and one thing only. It means we are in the lab and on campus with the segment we call Ask a Sports Sociologist. And today we speak to Dr. Mary Jo Kane. Dr. Kane is the director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport in the College of Education and Human Development at the University of Minnesota. And her latest research, it poses a question that has truly vexed those who want to promote women's sports. And this has been the case for generations. It's the question, does sex sell? Or perhaps more accurately, does sexism sell women's sports? But we also want to actually touch with her on a host of other subjects as well. But first, why don't we just welcome her? Let's just do that. Enough with the preamble. Dr. Kane, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and it's a lovely day here in Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I guess so. You've got that spring season out there. I went to college out there. About 75 degrees, I'm guessing.
Well, we don't hit 75 usually here until sometime sort of late July.
Ah, so okay.
no, a good day for us in the spring, quote unquote, is about what it is today, which is 60, but sunny.
Oh, beautiful. Everything in bloom. You're starting to see the ground again, which
we
is nice.
We do see some grass.
Always a good sign. Dr. Kane, just before we get into some questions about some recent developments in women's sports, I did want to just ask you if you could just give the basics as to what the heart of your research has been over the last year.
Well, it is to answer in many ways the $64,000 question with actual empirical data, and that is it true that the best way to promote interest in women's sports as a consumer is to emphasize sex, sexuality, and how pretty and feminine female athletes are versus how competent they are, how mentally tough they are, and how strategic they are as great athletes. That's the key.
And what did your research uncover?
Well, we did focus groups. We did 12 focus groups, and we looked at males versus females and how they perceived different images that we took from the media. We also looked at different age groups, high target demographics like 18 to 34-year-olds and 35 to 55-year-olds. And then we also looked at people's sport background, whether it was high or low, because we felt those things might have a particular impact on how they interpreted different images. And so what we did in random order is we provided these focus groups with six different images from the media, which were served as exemplars, as categories we found, so ranging from on-court, in-action photographs all the way to off-court, highly sexualized poses.
Mm.
And we said then to the...
Like the Maxim magazine style.
Exactly. Playboy.
I call it airport porn.
Airport porn is good. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated. And everything in between. And, you know, kind of the classy all-American girl next door look. And then we said to the focus group members, how much does each one of these images make you want to watch women's sports, read about women's sports, attend a women's sporting event, or buy a season ticket? And what we found was that all of the women and the older males, meaning the 35 to 55-year-old males, some of whom had daughters who played sports, were deeply offended by the sexualized images of women, and were very interested in high competence. What we found for the 18 to 34-year-old males was that they did very much relate to airport pornography images of Danica Patrick, for example. But what was interesting here, Dave, was, and this was really at the heart of my question, is when males buy those magazines, what is it that they're interested in consuming? Are they interested in consuming female athletes' bodies as objects of sexual desire? Or do they look at those bodies and go, oh, man, do I want to go watch the next WNBA game?
Right.
And, in fact, they wanted to buy the magazine, but they didn't want to go watch the next WNBA game. And that was the point. And so...
So what you're saying is that sex is great for selling sex, but not great for selling the sport that the woman is supposed to be representing.
Absolutely. And what we found, in fact, is that the core base of women's sports fans, which are women and older males, were offended by these images. And in fact, if anything, it was counterproductive and counterintuitive. Whereas for the young males who we theoretically want to get into those stadia to watch women play, again, they wanted to buy the magazine. Like you said, they wanted to consume sex. It had nothing to do with wanting to consume women's sports as a fan.
Now, Dr. Kane, fortunately, we can do some live on-air market research right now, because in studio we have a gentleman aged 35 to 55 whose daughter does, in fact, play sports, who's a basketball player at Georgetown. So let me just ask you, Kevin McNutt, sorry to put you on the spot, but do Dr. Kane's findings, does that jibe with your own views about how women's sports are in your eyes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Matter of fact, I was just thinking of it. In terms of college basketball, for example, women play the game better fundamentally, artistically, and in game structure better than the men. Their passing is better. Their teamwork is better. But you know, everybody wants to see the high-flying dunks and so forth and so on. But the women play at a higher level with, I think, a better understanding of the game, because they can't just rely on athletic gifts and so forth. Mm. So they have to play with teams in a team concept. So I see it all the time, and it kind of, you know, guys come in and make comments and about what they see the girls at, and they're more consumed about, oh, look at her and look at this, and so whoa, hold on.
And it undersells the actuality of the sport.
What's taking place? They are highly accomplished athletes that are committed, that are doing everything that the men do on their side. Mm. The biggest difference, obviously, is that they're not in a revenue generating sport.
Mm.
But well, maybe Tennessee and UConn, but
yeah,
for the most part, it's not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kane, as long as we're talking about images, and we're largely just talking about sexualized images, your research, sexualized images versus game images. Recently, there's an image that's been the subject of a lot of debate of possibly the most high-profile women athlete in the United States that was not game playing or sex, but something different, and that was the very pregnant Candace Parker, the great basketball player, on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. What were your thoughts on some of the images in that story and then the tone of the article in that story?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I actually gave this that story as a homework assignment to my sport and society class. And,
really?
Yeah, and the reaction was, what was the point of this, and what did this have to do with sports? And starting out the article by talking about the fact that Candace Parker wears a C cup, and that it felt sort of disrespectful and sort of cheeky and irreverent, and it focused very little on how unbelievably gifted and competent she is. And again, the suggestion throughout the entire article was from her handlers, frankly, saying that unless we sexualize her and make her pretty and feminine and talk about her C cup, then we're not going to be able to market her. And what I want to say is, and that's because you've tried to market so many women as just fabulously competent athletes.
Right, right. Where's their market research?
Where are the data? And I think the other interesting thing is, I mean, on the one hand, I do think it's important to send the message to women and men that you can be a mother and have children and still be a professional woman and be a great dedicated athlete. But it was almost if it was an apologetic that Candace Parker had this commitment to really help the WNBA, and then she becomes pregnant and all the plans are put on hold. So it was a really interesting article, but I think what was more important for me, Dave and Kevin, is this. Women get so little coverage in places like ESPN. Of all the stories they could have chosen to focus on, why was that the picture? And a few years ago, when Sports Illustrated decided to launch Sports Illustrated for Women, which also failed, do you remember who was on the cover? A pregnant female athlete talking about Cheryl Swoops, talking about how she and the WNBA were due in June. So,
wow.
If you're a sports fan, you want to you want to pick that up and read about. I mean, imagine this, that I'm a sports fan and I want to pick up Sports Illustrated and I want to read about, here's an idea, sports. And all I hear about with LeBron James and Kobe Bryant is all about their families. Well, that might be interesting, but I'm not picking up Family Magazine. So, right. You know, what's the point here? I mean, it's really kind of a novel idea to focus on women athletes as athletes.
Yeah, Dr. Kane, let me connect some dots here, too, because Cheryl Swoopes, I remember that. She was on the cover pregnant. It was part of her relationship with a very buff, handsome man whose name I can't remember, but he was sort of portrayed as like he would be the stay-at-home person. Cheryl Swoopes has, of course, since come out of the closet, probably
right.
The most high-profile woman athlete to do that. It's hard for me to not look at that cover of the pregnancy, Candace Parker with the pregnancy, an attempt to impose apologies for the academic word, and especially apologies if I get it wrong, but heteronormative. Is that
exactly
a word?
Heteronormative.
Heteronormative. I've been out of the academy for a while. I do apologize. But just attempting to project this idea that to be a woman athlete, they're using pregnancy as a way to distance women athletics from even the slightest hint of same-sex couples, attraction, what have you.
Exactly. And I think that, again, there is this overcompensation, at least there has been historically, to reassure a corporate audience, fans, administrators, parents, and in many cases the female athletes themselves, don't worry, playing sports, especially sports like basketball, will not make your daughters gay.
Mm.
And so that's always part of, Pat Griffin, a colleague of mine who is an educator in this area and scholar, has talked a lot about the whole issue of the glass closet in women's sports.
Mm. And this would be an example of that. Like, yeah. Candace Parker can't be just projected on the basis of her own athletic ability. And every article about Candace Parker includes her husband, Sheldon Williams, because they're both professional basketball players. Frankly, I think it stretches the definition of professional basketball player to call Sheldon Williams a professional basketball player. And then you have Candace Parker, who's like the Jordan of her sport, and it almost diminishes her to speak about them as this athletic couple of equals.
Right, and again,
that may be subjective. I apologize to all Duke fans.
Stay on point.
Sorry.
I think what's important, though, is think about the coverage that Candace Parker got last year when she led in a completely gutsy performance in the Final Four, Tennessee, not this obviously last year, but Tennessee
right.
to the national championship, which no one had predicted.
That's right.
And it was in many ways because of the great athleticism and the gutsy, I will not quit no matter what attitude of Candace Parker, and that now has become completely erased around trying to make her into something that has very little to do with her competence as a great athlete.
Mm. This is Edge of Sports Radio here on XM 143 and Sirius 122. Since you raised that issue, Dr. Mary Jo Kane, and I do want you, before you go, I'm just saying this out loud so we don't forget, please tell people how they can learn more about the research the Tucker Center is doing. But before you answer that question, I just did want to get your take on what you thought of the Final Four coverage this past year. Obviously, a lot of storylines from UConn's undefeated season, beating every team by double digits, to the promise made by Courtney Paris about how she would give back her scholarship if they lost. A lot of those stories left out the fact that she was the daughter of an NFL player, and this wouldn't exactly be a great hardship to give back that scholarship. But hey, what are you going to do? And I just wanted to know, what was your take overall on the Final Four coverage?
I thought it was actually quite spectacular.
Terrific. Tell us why.
I really, if you watch, and especially there's been such a shift over time, the way in which both the pre- and post-game, halftime, and then during the game was covered by ESPN, the promotions, et cetera, it focused on-court talent. It focused on strategies and breaking down players and teams and coaches. It emphasized rivalries. It emphasized coaching legends. I mean, this is not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN promoted competence. Speaking of my students, and I want you to think about going back again to the sex sells notion and what the logical conclusion would be, which is Ozzie and Harriet are sitting at home on a Friday night, and Harriet says, "Hey, we have an opportunity to go watch Stanford play Connecticut this year, and they're both undefeated, and they're playing in the national title, and we can see Geno against Tara Vanderveer. What do you think?" And Ozzie says, no, they're just not very pretty and sexy this year. I don't think I'll go. And I just don't believe that those conversations take place.
Yeah, I don't think they do
either. I believe that people go, including men, go and watch women's sports for the same reason they watch men's sports, and that's because of competence and drama and high stakes.
Does that jibe with you, Kevin McNutt, as a longtime observer?
Yep, I do agree with that 100%.
Dr. Kane, thank you so much for joining us on Edge of Sports Radio.
Thank you, Dave and Kevin.
And we're going to be back right after this to close the show with our segment we like to call the Just Speak Up Award. We'll be back right after this.
Dave Zirin will be right back with more Edge of Sports Radio on Sirius XM Sports Nation, Sirius 122 and XM 143.